I desire your prayers today, the Lord, to be with us as we look into His Word for a little bit. I've written on the board, our children. 127th Psalm, I believe the third verse says, children are heritage of the Lord. This is a subject that I feel pretty passionate about, and I'll try to not allow my passion to be a part of this, but it is something that I feel very strongly about, is responsibility that we have to our children. I thought about asking all of our children to come up and stand in front of us for just a moment, but I'm not going to do that. Thought about asking them just to stand at their seats, but I'm not going to do that. I don't want to put them on display like that and make them feel pressured. But I would like to ask you, adults, look around the room. Just take a quick glance around the room. I think if my numbers are right, I counted about 20, including teenagers, here in the congregation this morning. I wish there were more. I'm glad for everyone that's here. And I wish that the community children were here in service today. I wish they could be all the time. I don't know how many of them go to Sunday school in our community. I don't take a poll. I don't go knock on doors and canvas and ask. I hope that they're getting an opportunity to hear about Jesus. I hope that they are. You see, our children didn't ask to be brought into this world. I didn't ask to be brought into this world. My parents, my mother conceived me and gave birth to me. I didn't ask about that, but here I am. And it's the same with these children. They didn't ask. But we bear the responsibility of teaching them and providing for their needs, temporal and spiritual. We bear the responsibility of trying to be sure that they're clothed and fed and they feel comfortable and secure. Now, I will grant to you that we can take that too far. I don't know if you've heard about the phrase lawnmower parents. Lawnmower parents are parents that just try to mow down any obstacle in their children's path to make sure they have no adversity whatsoever to deal with in life. Read a little account the other day about a little girl at school who had left her water bottle. Her dad dropped her off, and she left her water bottle, water thermos in her dad's vehicle. And he realized that after he got down the road a ways, and he decided, well, I'm not going to turn around and go back. There's water fountains at school. But you know, wasn't long, and he got a call. I need my water bottle, Dad. Well, aren't there water fountains at school that you can drink from? But you know what ended up happening? He turned around, went back, took her water bottle. I don't ever remember taking a water bottle to school. Now, I'm not against parents. I know sometimes, and here, we don't have a water fountain that we have for the children in school. But if your child happens to forget to bring their thermos full of water, we have water on the grounds. Nobody's going to die of thirst because they forgot their water bottle. Forgot their thermos. But that's just one of the things that we have to think about in rearing children and taking responsibility for them. Do we want to just mow down every obstacle so they have no difficulties to deal with in life? Do we want them to have nothing ever, any kind of adversity to deal with, and think that life is going to be nothing ever? I'm never going to have trouble or adversity in life? Do we want them to grow up into teens in what should be productive years? And all of a sudden something happens on the job and things aren't going quite right. Where's mom and dad to mow down all the obstacles? At some point we have to learn how to handle those things. Or the helicopter parents. You ever heard of helicopter parents? Always hovering. Always near. Just to make sure that everything is okay. I want to make sure there's nothing, that they don't have any issues. overprotective, excessive interest in their lives. We need to be interested in their lives. We need to be involved in their lives. But that can also be carried to an extreme and to an excess. Children are a heritage of the Lord. In all of this, we have the responsibility to try to find the way to make them comfortable in our care and love and nurturing for them, but also help them to feel the responsibilities, and when things don't go real good for them, to learn how to overcome. I'd like to turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Very familiar passage. Chapter 6, beginning with the 4th verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. When do we talk about these things? All the time. Every opportunity that we have, we take advantage of opportunity to try to instill into their minds the things of God, the principles of God, the precepts of God, the commandments of God. We do what we can to through object lessons or whatever may come, whether we're dealing with death, whether we're dealing with new life, a child that's been born, whether we're dealing with the loss of a pet. Sometimes the loss of a pet is an opportunity to teach a child what death is and how to deal with it. And to help them understand that there is a difference between a human being and an animal. While we might be sorry about an animal that has gone, we want them to understand that animals we love and we care about and we're sorry, but we want them to know that we have a soul. The human being has a soul. And the soul of a human being lives forever. I'm not trying to diminish the loss of this little pet that you had, but I want you to understand, son, that while you're grieving over the loss of the pet, I want you to remember, too, that human beings have a soul that will never die. And we want to do everything we can to talk about these things diligently. Teach the principles, the precepts, the commandments diligently to thy children. When you lie down, when you rise up, when you sit, when you walk, looking for opportunities to present these kinds of things to them. Because they didn't ask to be brought into this world. But they're here. And they are here now, and we have the responsibility to our children to do everything that we can, and God help us to take this seriously, to do everything we can to introduce them to the precepts and principles of who God is. Then down in verse 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Now this was a literal land to be possessed. This was a literal land that they could put the sole of their foot upon. They were literal houses that they were going to possess. All right? But this, I would like for us to transfer this into the New Testament realm here. And the types and shadows. Remember that we were bondmen in Egypt. Egypt being a type of sin, remember, folks, that we need to help our children to understand that they were born with a seed of sin. And at one time, Dad was a bondman to that seed of sin in Egypt. At one time, I was in bondage to that. But then there was a day when the Lord came by and He knocked on my heart's door. And He began to talk to me and deal with me about things that I needed to make changes on. And I was willing to humble myself before Him. And I fell on my face and asked God to have mercy on me and ask Him to save me. Whatever your story is, share it. I was a bondman. But the Lord came by and He delivered me. He delivered me from the place that I was in bondage to. He delivered me out of those places. And He promised me a new land. And that's the land I'm living in today. I'll tell you folks, these kinds of things our children need to understand. We need to do what we can to teach them and help them to know what these values are. Little by little, here and there. Instill means drop by drop. It's not just a big whoomp. They're not going to get it that way. But if we can instill them with a little bit here and a little bit there, principles, values here and there, doctrines, teachings, a little here and a little there, there are things that can come to place in their minds that take root, and we hope by the help of the Lord to be watered and grow. Now I'd like to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 18. This is a familiar passage. Verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Can I reread that to you, folks? But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's pretty serious language coming from the Master, isn't it? Coming from the One who is love. He is saying, and I realize that in context, here He's actually speaking of all of His children. But He had called this little child to Him and set him on His knee and was having the audience take notice of this little child. Now, He said, except you be converted and become as little children, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And by taking this little child out of the audience, the multitude there, and sitting that child on His lap and making reference to that child, I believe that He was not only referring to all of His children, but He was also referring to this little one who, in the formative stage of life, is helpless because there are things that he does not understand, that he does not yet comprehend, that he needs someone to instill into his mind. Recently, teaching math class to a couple of little children, you start out with some real fundamental basic things. Start out teaching them by objects, using objects, how to count, how to add 1 plus 1. Take a little tower or little cubes and say, I have 1 cube, and if I add 1 more cube, how many do I have? I have 2. If I have 2 and I take 1 away, how many do I have now? Well, I've got 1. If I have 3 and I take 1 away, how many do I have? Well, I have 2. That's instilling. That's instilling. That is helping them to understand that little by little, piece by piece, they start to learn the concepts of how to apply that concept to the next phase that they're going to enter into. Because the next phase will likely have something that they have learned in the past to help them to be able to understand this concept. Instilling, little by little, the book of Deuteronomy, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Teach these things diligently to your children. Help them while they're young. Begin the process of instilling things in their minds that will help them, not being lawnmower parents, not being helicopter parents, but being in a place where I can instill into their minds little things here and there along the way that help them to be able to understand concepts as they become deeper and deeper in the things of God. And yes, there are some deep things in the Lord. And we don't expect our little children to understand those things. But what we do want to do is give them the tools and the equipment so that when the Lord knocks on their heart's door, they understand that it's the Lord. They realize it's God that has come to call and knocking on my heart. Because I remember what Dad said. Mom said. She said, I was a bondman in Egypt. I was in bondage to my own way. I was in bondage to sin. And the Lord came by. And He did miracles and He set me free. And He'll come by for you someday, son, daughter. He'll come by someday for you, Jenny. He'll come by and He'll knock on your heart's door. And when He does, I want to encourage you to listen to the voice of the Lord because He's trying to help you. He's giving you an invitation. These things are beautiful things that we need to instill in the minds of our children. And use the examples that we have around us. And I would say to us folks, remember, whoso shall offend one of these little ones. The word for offend comes from the Greek word scandalizo, scandalize. Whosoever shall scandalize one of these little ones. How do we scandalize one of our little ones? By either ignoring our responsibility, not taking our responsibility, or taking it lightly, or instilling improper things in their minds. How do I instill improper things in their minds? By not following the precepts of the Word of God. Too many times, I have seen parents trying to live out their own dreams of their childhood in their own little children. I've seen little girls, God help us with this, folks. I've seen little girls exploited, dressed up far beyond their age. Made up far beyond their age to look so much different than what they actually are because parents are trying to live out their lives, their fantasies, their ideas through their children's lives. Maybe there are things that I wanted to do when I was young and didn't get to do, and I want my little girl and my little boy to be able to do that. Let's be careful of the ingredients that we're putting into their minds, that we are instilling. Remember, instill, drop by drop. It makes an impact on their decision-making process. In the book of Ephesians, another very familiar passage, chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parents with our boys, teens, let's be careful how much we allow them to have the soft look. Now, this is a personal observation, and you can say that I'm just an old fuddy-duddy. But I say this today. This is my opinion, my observation. We need to be careful the clothes we allow our boys to wear. We can send a message to the society around us, and we can begin instilling in their minds, drop by drop, the things that we think are not so important. And I'd just like to just make this reference to you. Lord, give understanding. Skinny jeans, skinny pants. When I was a boy growing up, I had to wear slims. All right? My legs were very skinny. Slims. But there are skinny pants, skinny jeans. And I say to you, just from my observation, from an old 57-year-old fuddy-duddy pastor, I say, be careful. These things to me look as though they impart a look of softness to our boys. We don't want our boys to be soft. We don't want our boys to be effeminate. We want our boys to be boys, and we want them to be men. We want them to be men. I realize that there are jobs that men can grow up and take, and they're not actual get out there and bust your knuckles and calluses. There are jobs that you can take where you sit in an office and you have to answer a phone and you have responsibility for board meetings and things like that. I understand that, and I have no qualms against anything like that. But what I do say is this: be careful. Be careful the things that we allow our children to pursue. Be careful the things that we put our seal of approval on that they want to do and want to be involved in, that we're not by drop instilling wrong things in their mind. Drop by drop, you see. Little by little. A little bit here and a little bit there. I can lead them down a wrong path. Girls. Our girls. Let's be careful how much activity we allow them to participate in, be involved in, that is outside of a female role. Society has changed. The Word of God and the principles and values of God have not. Society has made excuses for things for men and women to do that are outside of the parameters of the Word of God. Society has done that. But the Word of God hasn't changed. The Scripture tells us, the Lord said, I am the Lord, I change not. With Him there is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. He is light, He is truth. There is nothing in God, nothing about God that changes with the whims and the fancies and the opinions of popular opinion, with the fads and fashions of the world, and with the changes and the advances, in quotation marks, advances of society. I say for the advances of our society has taken us many steps backwards. If we're not careful, folks, today, by the things that we instill in their minds, we can set them up for problems later in life. We can look at it and say, oh, they're just children. They're just children, yes. They're just children. But one day they'll become teens, and then they'll be adults. I say one of the reasons we have so much trouble in our society today is because children who are children, who are teens, and then become adults, haven't been taught the parameters, principles, and values of the Word of God, and we suffer for that today. Because we are advanced society. We are advanced. We now know how to be inclusive and how to be tolerant. And I believe the Word of God teaches us to love all men. And it teaches us to be inclusive and tolerant to a degree. There are limitations. There are places where, as Christians, we have to be able to draw some lines. I don't want, and this is my own thought, a scratch down in a note here. I don't want our children to feel guilty for going against what I've taught them. I want them to be pricked in heart for going against the principles of God instilled in their hearts and minds. There's a difference. They can respect me or disrespect me. They can believe what I say, and they can be afraid to disobey me. And in a way, I understand that being part of the picture. But I would rather them not feel guilty about going against what I teach them, but I'd rather them be pricked in their hearts because they realize that the things instilled in their hearts and minds are values and principles of God, and pricked in their heart and mind because they're going against those values. If my values line up with that, amen. I pray, God, that my values will line up with the Word of God. And I pray to God that your values will line up with His Word. And that the things that we instill in their hearts and minds, that someday when the Lord knocks on their heart's door and they're pricked in conscience, it's not because what mom and dad said. It's not because what the church said. It's not because what the church teaches. It's because the principles and values of the Word of God instilled in my mind let me know that I'm in opposition to that. And I have to amend my ways. And I feel pricked in my conscience over it. If part of that means I realize, the Scripture does say, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. But there comes a place, there comes a time when a child goes beyond just the obedience of the parents, and it has to be an obedience and a submission to a higher power and authority. The higher power and authority of God. You heard me say a while back, and I know it was a rather strong way to word it, but I asked the question, and I'll ask it again today, which is more absurd? Which would be more absurd to you, to see a young man walking down the street with a skirt or a dress, or to see a young lady walking down the street with pants? Which is more absurd? In the eyes of God, which is more absurd? You see, as society, we look at it and say, well, I can tell you which is more absurd, really. What about in the eyes of God and the principles and values instilled by the Word of God? What does it tell us? It clearly tells me that a woman shouldn't wear that which pertains to a man, and a man shouldn't put on a woman's garment. It tells me those kinds of things. But little by little, drop by drop, little instilled here, a little instilled there, I can cause them to be confused in life as they come to this place and the Lord knocks on their heart's door and all the things that I've taught them, the things that I've instilled in their minds, goes against the principles of the Word of God. And where does the conscience go? I say to us, say, folks, children, at some point the Lord will talk to you. He'll talk to you. But parents, we bear responsibility for the things that we instill in their minds that cause them difficulty later in life. Amen. Because I've instilled it. Because they didn't ask to be brought into this world, but here they are. Who are the ones that are supposed to be responsible for leading them, directing them, guiding them? We are. I brought them here. It's my responsibility. And that's why in the book of Deuteronomy it says, the words which I command thee shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Why? Because I want them to get it. I want it to be instilled in their minds. And when do I do it? When they lie down, when they rise up, when they walk by the way, when they stand, wherever they may be, use every opportunity I can to teach and instill in their minds these principles. Yes, they're children today. They're children today. One day they're going to be teenagers. One day they're going to be adults. One day they're likely to find a companion and get married. One day they're likely to rear children of their own. What values are they going to instill in their minds? What things are they going to put in their minds? Drip, 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 drop by drop. May God help us today, folks. Let's do everything that we can to put the right values in the minds of our children. I say to us today, we need to get on our faces before the Lord and ask Him to have mercy on us and help us. Because this world in which we live has enough confusion in it without us adding to the confusion. You pray for me. I want to make heaven my home. I know you do too. No one wants to be lost. No one wants to go to a devil's hell. And we certainly don't want to be complicit in any way in having our children have difficulty understanding what they should and shouldn't do. The Word of God, it stands on its own. As we said before, right after the song service, the Word of God, the sea of glass, the testimony of God, the covenant, the commandments, everything that it is can stand the pressures of whatever life can throw you. It will help you stand on those covenants. It can stand it. The Word of God. You pray for me. Amen.